Welcome to the Nerdist Podcast number 485. Tickets are now on sale for stand-up at Caroline's. Well, tickets are always on sale for stand-up at Caroline's, but not for me, normally. But now that is the case. May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd, I'll be at Caroline's in New York. So go to their website or nerdist.com/calendar to get ticket links and come on out. I think I'm going to do, like, I don't know, five shows maybe, the 1st through the 3rd of May. Got to get the new hour going. And I would like to thank for sponsoring this episode of the Nerdist Podcast, Squarespace, the all-in-one platform. It's going to make it fast and easy for you to create your own website, portfolio, online store, whatever you need. Look, you probably have some type of a web presence. Everyone has some short micro form of social media, but let's just say that you wanted to expand or create something, plant more of a flag in the ground, but you're like, oh, either I don't have enough programming experience, or I don't like working with, you know, having to put a facade over a traditional blog format. It doesn't matter. Squarespace, at any level of experience, will get you covered. They also have amazing customer service, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Plans start at $8 a month, and that includes a free domain if you sign up for a year. So please go there, build your website, no credit card needed to start a trial. And when you do decide to sign up for Squarespace, use the offer code NERDIST2, that's NERDIST in the number 2, to get 10% off and to show your support for the Nerdist Podcast. Super easy, super fun, super nice people. Go to squarespace.com, use the offer code NERDIST2. Right now, I'm in an area where there seems to be construction going on outside. So if you like hearing a circular saw cut through wood, then I... oh, it just stopped. So I'm sorry. Sorry, all my saw and wood fetishists. You'll just have to download sound effects files of wood being cut. This episode of the podcast is Michelle Monahan, who I don't really know, but we work out at the same gym. That's right, we're fitness people. Michelle is, and from every experience that I had with her, was always super cool. And she is on True Detective, which is on HBO every Sunday night, and then also is in a new movie called Better Living Through Chemistry, which is out on Pi Day, March 14th. And then we're going to have some more Nerdist announcements about Pi Day as well. So Michelle, you probably recognize from, she's been in a ton of stuff. She's in Mission Impossible, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which is one of my favorite comedies. And the other thing is that Myra's ex-girlfriend trains Michelle. Myra's ex-girlfriend is a comedian and a trainer, and she trains Michelle. So there's Matt was in on this one, and it was a fun dynamic. So here we go, the Nerdist Podcast number 485 with Michelle Monahan.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
So weird to see all of us not sweating.
We all go to the same gym.
Not sweating? What are you talking about? Like not crawling on the floor?
Exactly.
Today, the first time I wanted to quit in the middle of a session was today.
Why?
He put me on a fucking Stairmaster.
Ooh.
Which, no.
What?
5 minutes of that. It was the most excruciating thing. I hated it. I hated it so much. I'm never going on Stairmaster again. I'll take the stairs. I'll go up 7 floors. I feel like I'm accomplishing something. But on a Stairmaster, it's just a brutal torture device.
It just feels like some deep level of
Tartarus.
You're
just like trying not to fall. That's all it
is.
Are
we on? Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're just listening to Matt complain
okay,
about
so
Stairmasters.
Saying, wow, okay.
Stairmasters. Michelle, what do you think about Stairmasters?
But I think it's funny that you guys know each other.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, yeah.
Because Matt's ex-girlfriend trains you.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
And so we all go to the same gym.
Apparently she didn't do a very good job of training you. Are you untrainable?
He's untrainable. Yeah, we've got Caesar the dog whisperer coming in. To we're gonna
what else is happening here? Who's coming in now? Oh, it's my mother. What else is wrong with me, everyone?
This is so funny to see Matt. This is so funny.
No,
this is great.
Listen,
hey, no, what? It's fine. It's
I
fine.
Couldn't, Kiki, I tried training with her a couple of times, and she wouldn't count.
You don't.
That was my problem. Big problem.
You can't really train with your significant other, though. I feel like
no,
that's
an extra layer of pressure. No, you can't train with your significant other.
But you are a monster in the gym. It's like you're there when I come in.
Yeah.
And you're doing all sorts of crazy shit. and then I'll leave, and you're fucking running on the treadmill.
She does it on her own.
You know what? I'm going back to work. I just had a baby, and I'm going back to work, and it's kind of a provocative show. So I basically had to turn into a gym rat for the last the last couple of months because I'm scared shitless, basically.
You were back working out 2 weeks after the baby, right?
No, I was back. It felt like 5 weeks.
But you were in the gym, full on pregnant.
Yeah.
I was
doing squats, doing weights. I was very active all the way up to the very end.
Weren't you concerned at any moment that you would go down for a squat and be like, I have to go to the hospital?
Yeah, no.
Is that not how that works?
No, I wasn't actually. Because I felt really good. I felt really good.
Do you think Kiki could deliver that baby?
Yeah, I think Kiki could deliver that baby.
Well, if movies are to be believed, all you need is newspaper and hot water, right?
It's true, man.
She lived with a baby for a year and a half, she could probably deliver.
We actually had a home birth, so I was prepared to have this baby.
You had a home birth?
Anywhere, yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Just like in your bed?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Now I can tell you, the fatality rate is extremely more with a home birth, so it's good that you both made it.
Well, not necessarily. But yeah. So it's very helpful to be, very active and whatnot, for your home birth. And we had a midwife, and it was just an unbelievable, dare I say, sort of easy experience having at the comfort of your own home.
They need to clean up all that afterbirth. Like, that's on you.
Matt could never have a home birth.
No.
What made you decide I'm going to get the midwife and not go to a hospital?
Well, we had our first daughter at home as well. And my whole thing was I just didn't really want to be sort of have a bunch of needles and all sorts of things in my arms. I didn't want to be confined to
No one
bed.
Could blame you for that.
And I just wanted to be able to sort of move around and walk around and sort of have the baby as it would come. I wasn't worried about the pain. And I just wanted the experience of being at home, and it's incredibly peaceful. And there's no transition from hospital to home. You're there, and you have this incredible maternal health care. The midwife comes every day and looks after you and the baby for a couple of weeks. So it's actually a really supportive experience and environment.
I want to know, what is the experience like after you've had the baby in the bed that day, and then you go to bed that night?
You're like,
I had a baby in this bed.
Well, it's really like that. I mean, I remember when we had our daughter, we had her, and it was late at night, as was our son just recently, and we fell asleep with the baby in the bed, and then you wake up, and there's this baby right next to you. And you're like, oh my gosh, I just gave birth to this.
It's out in the world.
And it's, it's remarkable. It's incredibly, wherever you have it, it's just the most incredible experience you could ever have.
And how's the first child with the new baby?
Well, it's funny. She seems to be accepting of him now, but there was a period of time where she was coming home from school in the last few months with family photos. And she's like, here's mommy, here's daddy, and here's Willow. And my husband and I are like, where the hell is Tommy? where is Tommy? So Tommy still hasn't made an appearance in the family photos, but she's doing much better. She gets a kick out of him.
I was I'm familiar with your work, but I wasn't that familiar with your background, your personal life. You've been with your husband for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, since you were both pretty young.
Yeah, since I was 25. We've been together for over 14 years.
Wow.
Yeah, we met in New York in a
What's
bar.
What's your secret? You met in a bar and it worked out 14 years?
Yeah. I mean, and of course, I was always that chick telling my girlfriends, you'll never meet a guy in a bar, but after a few drinks, you tend to meet guys in bars. And but I happened to meet one of the best people that I could possibly ever know. And he's my husband and he's totally rad.
Tell us your secret.
Oh, my God.
How does it work? we'll talk about other stuff in a minute, but good, solid relationship advice from someone who's been in a relationship for a long time and still seems really, really, really happy.
Yeah. I mean, I think, number one, you have to have a sense of humor about everything. You can't take anything too seriously. I mean, you have to be best friends. And you really have to be considerate of the other person and always put the other person first. And
damn it.
Yeah. That's it.
I found that it's also when sometimes it's very hard to do, especially when the, well, I guess for any business, but
yeah.
Also not
not using your significant other as essentially like a dumping ground for all of your shit.
No, exactly. I mean, that's what friends are for.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, right? I mean, yeah. I mean, everybody's in, you know, has stress or whatever in relationships. But yeah, I sort of like to leave it at the door when I come home, you know. Leave it outside the door, hopefully.
You seem generally positive. Like, you seem
I am a very positive person.
How did you have to... Were you always that way, or did you have to find that?
No, always this way. And that's just a testament to my parents, I think. I mean, we were raised in such a really positive environment in terms of just always being told, like, it's so cliche, but we could do anything, you know, we set our mind to. It was that sort of environment, a very, like, glass half full kind of person.
So there is something about good parenting that makes it sense.
Exactly, and I'm working on it.
I mean, you're in this very strange... I don't have any kids, but the thing that always scares me about the idea of kids is that you could just offhandedly say something in front of your kids someday that would all of a sudden like forge a belief system that they would have for the rest
of
their lives.
Completely. I'm so conscious of that all the time, of just saying sort of the wrong thing. Like, it's so nerve-wracking because it truly is the most important job there is sort of raising children that are good people, you know, compassionate people, and kids that don't feel entitled to things. And
well, how do you balance that between, you know, between acting? I mean, like, the performing arts are kind of a selfish business because you have to really focus in and get in your own head. And, you know, like, you can't really have a lot of outside stuff getting in the way. So how do you balance those two things?
Well, it's very difficult, I will admit. It's very tricky. And if it wasn't for my husband being so hands-on and supportive, I wouldn't be able to do it. You know, in terms of my work, typically my work takes me away from home, and I leave, you know, our family. So, you know, I'll sometimes be away for a few weeks at a time, maybe 3 weeks. And we've chosen to do that because it's much more difficult to uproot the family and then have them out of their routine and sort of just hanging out in a house or an apartment or something like that. And then I don't get to see them anyway because I'm at work, you know, 14 hours a day. So I'd much rather be the bigger person, be the adult and miss them and be able to focus on my work 100%. And then when I come home and I finish work, be able to devote all of my time and energy into my kids and my husband. But I can't do both at the same time. It's nearly impossible. And feel good about it. Feel like I've done a good job with either one of them.
Sure.
Yeah.
Wow, that's amazing. Because you've worked on a ton of stuff. I think Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is one of the best comedies of the last 20 years. It's so...
Thank
you. It's just one of those movies that you're like, oh, Shane Bliss looks really interesting. And then I went and saw it, and then I immediately saw it again.
Wow.
It was so...
You were one
so
of the
funny.
Very few people that actually saw it in a theater.
You know, I mean, maybe, because it wasn't in the theater long, but I know that when people talk about, like, everyone, oh, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang is a fucking great movie.
Yeah, it's sort of one of those movies that caught on sort of down the road for people. Now it's a bit of a kind of a cult classic, dare I say. But I constantly am like, well, I mean, the latest was like, I think it was a couple of weeks ago in Ralph's, and, you know, the checkout guy was like, oh my God, are you that girl from Kiss Kiss Bang Bang? I was like, yeah. He's like, oh, I love that movie. You know, so it's just random people talk about that movie more than any other movie I think that I've been in.
Well, Val Kilmer and Robert Downey Jr. have that sort of thing about them where they're really great dramatic actors, but they're fucking hilarious.
Oh my God.
At the same, and so getting to see those two guys together was the vibe on the set kind of felt like an indie film. I mean, like, not, I shouldn't say the vibe on the set.
Yeah.
I wasn't on the set, but the vibe of the movie was like, oh, there's like an indie film where a bunch of friends
it felt very, very much like that. I mean, what I found really interesting is that the two of them had never met prior to Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, which I thought was shocking because they have great chemistry, number one, but they're both so eccentric and a little crazy that you'd think they would have traveled in the same circles for sure.
Well, but it's Marvel DC.
They are parallels in those two universes.
Exactly. But, you know, we shot, it was ridiculous. I mean, I think it was something like 40 nights in a row. So we all were just living like a night basically shooting this in downtown LA everywhere. And it was great. It was one of the best experiences I've ever had working. I remember like Val would knock on my door every now and then and he'd be like, is tonight the night? And I'd be like, what, Val? He's like, can I watch you dress in that Santa costume? And I was like, not tonight, Val. Maybe check back out another night.
In like, any other profession, human resources.
Yeah, exactly.
But if it's Val Kilmer.
Yeah, exactly.
So
I imagine him just wandering town doing that to not everyone.
Right? Is tonight the night?
I don't have a Santa outfit. I brought one.
Asking me to change.
I brought one. So do you... You know, between working on that or like bigger, but like really huge movies. Mm-hmm. What's the? I mean, does a movie? Does like the Mission Impossible series? Does that feel personal in any way, or is it just like, oh, this is a giant movie, and you go and
no,
it's like
they,
a machine?
I mean, they always feel personal to me. You know, I'll never sort of make a movie that I wouldn't go see in the movie theater. That's sort of my barometer in terms of if I read something, I'm like, well, would I actually go and pay money to see this?
Yeah.
And if I can't honestly say that, then I'm not going to be a part of it. There are other factors that go into it as well, but that's sort of, so it always feels like something that's, sort of personal and intimate for me. But obviously doing an independent film, it's, I really appreciate doing independence because I love collaborating with first-time filmmakers, writers. I love working with a small crew. I love that intimacy. And I love shooting things really quickly, like hard and fast, you know, for 19, 20, 25 days. I love to just be in the thick of it. And I really love independent film as well because they're very personal stories, you know, slice of life stories, characters, people that I can really sink my teeth into and really like great shoes to fill. So I appreciate that about independent film a lot.
So the wife of an international super spy is not quite the same.
Well, you know, that's a flip side. Like I got to do a lot of stunts for that. And I love doing stunts. So there's so many aspects of my personality that sort of get filled by doing, you know, by doing, say, a studio film or doing an independent film, whatever it is, you know.
They don't end up together, right? They don't really, like, isn't the last shot he's, like, sort of spying on
yeah,
her?
Yeah, he's sort of let her go at that point.
Well, next yeah. The next movie?
Yeah.
It's got to come out that she was a counterintelligence.
Right. Okay. Like, all right.
And then it's a battle between the two of them the
okay.
entire movie.
That would be awesome.
Can you make that happen?
I'll speak to JJ about that.
Could you just do it from the top of a building?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, exactly. On my pinky.
Just the entire time.
Guys, we should have thought this through. It's really not compelling.
Why did we? That sounded cool. I haven't seen True Detective yet.
You're missing out.
I know. I have the DVDs, but yeah. I realize I don't currently have a DVD player.
Oh, right.
Because I'm in between moving.
Yes.
And my laptop does not have a drive.
It's
I don't
MacBook
have a drive.
Air.
I know. I went
it's
to
a MacBook Air.
It's MacBook Air. There's no optical drive on it. I went to
Circuit City.
iTunes.
It's closed.
You
can't get a DVD player there. I'm sorry.
I can't go to Circuit City?
No, it's gone, Chris.
Why?
I'm sorry. They closed it down. CompUSA also closed.
Man.
Best Buy is barely hanging on.
Now it's like, decent buy.
Yeah.
Decent buy.
I was in Best Buy the other night, and they had, I was looking for just a little quarter-inch adapter to plug my headphones into a larger, you know, like a receiver. You know,
sure, whatever.
Yeah, don't worry. It's a common thing they would normally have everywhere. And they didn't
That's
have
Matt's
it.
Euphemism for picking up ladies.
Yeah.
I was looking for a quarter-inch adapter.
Ladies, are you looking for a quarter-inch?
What are they doing up there?
They're
Kyle, run upstairs and tell them to stop doing that.
It's probably Neil Brennan doing something. But anyway, I was in there looking for that tiny adapter.
Use physical violence if you must.
Please do. You're intimidating.
Hold on, I got this.
I'm training. Just like get some of that energy.
Yeah. They had this section. I was walking by this home theater section, and they have these like Martin Logan speakers and Macintosh receiver.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at them. I'm like, this is like $50,000 equipment. So that's how they're trying to save themselves, by selling $50,000 speakers.
They could just sell one.
Oh, we're good.
I mean, who buys a $50,000
from
speaker?
From Best Buy is the follow-up.
Yeah,
to that.
Yeah, exactly. Like, where are you going, honey? I'm going to Best Buy. I'm going to buy some speakers.
I got this Best Buy card for Mom.
I don't. There might be $50,000. on it. I don't know. Oh, it's just.
Or there might be
just,
$5.
It's just $25.
Okay, can you put the stuff back?
Yeah. Are you sure it's only $25?
Exactly.
It could be $50,000.
I'll just take. You know what? Don't worry about it. I'll just go.
That's it. Oh, the door's locked. Katie, can you look? Can you look, Kylan? Thank you, Kyle. How'd it go?
They're all dead.
Oh, good. So
excellent.
You're not supposed to admit
good work.
That. They're sleeping.
They're on a break permanently. Like, you have to say it in an accent or something. So you kind of want to do some kind of weird superhero movie where you get to kick the shit out of someone and then spit out a dumb, punny hashtag.
Yeah, no, I kind of did. I did the latest Justice League animated.
Oh, you do
thing,
Wonder Woman.
And I played Wonder Woman. And so that was really cool. But it was all like, huh, ha, you know, like all these like, oh, like, you know. So like, it was really funny for me, you know, to actually like pretend, you know. I grew up with brothers, so I mean, I know what those sounds like, you know, like I know what it feels like to get your, you know, the wind knocked out of you.
What was Diana's voice? What did you just do your voice?
I kind of did my, voice. Maybe it went a little bit deeper.
Get frustrated at Clark.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Clark.
So it was cool. It was really fun. That was a really fun thing to do.
So what do you, you said you're about to start working on something else soon?
Yeah, I'm starting work on a show called Open, a new Ryan Murphy project for HBO.
Oh, right, the HBO show, right.
Yeah. So we start shooting that on Wednesday, actually, mm-hmm. the pilot, which I'm very excited about.
Are you? What can you talk about?
The show is a very provocative show. It's about open relationships and these you're like, ooh. Like I tried that once. It didn't work.
No, I don't think I could.
I know, and it's really interesting because it's very progressive, obviously, this kind of idea of open relationships or people kind of going on their sexual journeys, but
I was in one once. I just didn't know it.
You just say, yeah, exactly.
Aww.
Exactly.
Not
well,
with Kiki,
and that's
no.
kind of and that's what the show's dealing with is kind of the betrayal of relationships and why people are betraying each other and what if they were just more open and honest about it. And so the show is sort of very modern in that respect. So my character finds herself engaged to this guy that she's been dating for 5 years, and then she realizes that she is a lesbian, and so she kind of goes on this journey.
But does she stay in the relationship?
They stay in the relationship, and so they embark on an open relationship, and they think that's the better way to handle this because they really sincerely love each other and she doesn't know if she's bisexual or a lesbian. So they're in a polyamorous relationship.
I think the idea of open relationships would probably be unfair to not the guy because I think most guys would be like, well, sure. I mean, you know, we could bring another lady into the situation, but if the girl was like, "Can we bring another guy?" Most dudes would be like, "What the fuck? What are you talking about?"
No.
That's threatening to me. As a guy, that's threatening, it seems unfair. Like it seems unfair what I think in society in general accepts as like an open relationship.
Exactly. It's interesting because I went to a couple of talks on polyamory. At Burning Man, nonetheless, like 8 months pregnant. And so I like, I'm riding my bike and they're like, wow, what is this chick doing here? At, like with all these like polyamorous couples. And there's like this vocabulary, like there's this whole dialogue that they use. And specifically to what you're talking about, they would call that commersion. And commersion is when you practice actually being supportive of your husband or your partner bringing in like another partner, whether it be a male or a female. And they're like, because all these couples are like, well, listen, I was just really jealous with this specific partner. And they're like, no, you really, really need to practice commersion. You want to be happy for them, that they're living life to their fullest potential. And it was so fascinating.
Sounds brainwashy to me.
It sounds like, right. My husband was just like, just make it back to our camp, honey. Please.
Please don't commerce.
Yeah, no commercing for you. but it was really, it's really, really fascinating. So I really feel, I'm excited about the concept of the show because because I feel like in some way, like there's, it's part of the zeitgeist right now. And I hear a lot of people talking about, like, are we really meant to be with one person for the rest of our lives? Are we really supposed to be monogamous? And so this show really touches on all aspects of that, and how, and also how we bring technology into our relationships, and whether, you know, watching too much porn is crossing the line, or mm-hmm. or texting or sexting is, like, where do you draw the line, and all those different aspects. So the show will tackle.
Yeah, because there's also an idea of, you know, you, I think people can have an emotional affair with mm-hmm. someone, even if nothing physical happens. And then, so then there's this kind of weird relationship existential question of, but if your heart and your mind are over there, isn't that
just as much of a, like, betrayal?
Is it the last step before, you know, I don't know. I mean, and I don't know what the answer is, but
yeah,
but it does. There are a lot of, there's a lot of gray,
a lot of blurred lines.
Yeah.
I know that Marvin Gaye just sued this podcast.
What? Yeah. We just got sued
from the grave.
But I know, like, you know, my girlfriend is attracted to ladies, but I'm not attracted to dudes.
Yeah.
And so I would never, feel like, oh, let's have another dude in
exactly.
on the action. I don't know, maybe it's my own insecurity. I would feel weird and
you'd feel
threatened.
A little emasculated
and so what is that? I mean, that I cannot identify, because it sort of feels like, you know, is that just a me problem, or is that really like, that's kind of a strange thing to do? I honestly don't know what the right answer is.
Yeah, exactly. Are we not evolved enough to be able to accept that? You're saying, like, am I not, like,
I'm clearly
emotionally
not.
Yeah, no, but that's the question. Like, and I think that's the people who decide to be in open relationships look at themselves and say, okay, I am really sort of emotionally evolved.
You'd have to be on exactly the same
certain
level, too.
Completely.
So what do you think that thing is about us that makes us like, no, this relationship is a walled garden? You're like, I mean, is it stuff you've been doing research. Mm-hmm. Have you really thought about it a lot?
I mean, I guess it's sort of a... I mean, I don't know if it's a walled garden, but I guess if you... I have no idea.
What if this was Chris just trying to fuck your husband?
Yeah.
Listen, you know...
Like, honey...
His accent.
You're going to be working long hours.
Yeah, exactly. And my husband's going to be alone.
He's going to need someone.
He's going to need some support.
Yeah, exactly.
Home.
Yeah.
Have you ever heard of a show called My Two Dads?
Yeah, yeah.
I exactly. want to bring Paul Reiser over and fuck your husband.
Yeah. Exactly.
On that car couch.
Exactly. Yeah.
That was the coolest living room set. When really I was a kid, I was like, what a fun family. Do you remember My Two Dads?
Yeah, I do remember My Two Dads.
With Greg Evigan and...
Wow. Good pull on
his name.
He
was in BJ and the Bear.
I missed that.
Yeah,
show.
I'm older than everyone. Yeah, and Stacy, she went on to Step by Step.
Step by Step.
She was on Step by Step. Oh man, I watched so much fucking television.
Yeah, you did.
Did you watch a lot of television?
I didn't watch a lot of television growing up. We didn't have cable. I grew up in a town of 700 people, super small.
What? Where?
Yeah, in Iowa.
700.
700.
What part of Iowa?
Northeastern Iowa, near Cedar Rapids, Waterloo.
Yeah, we were performing in Cedar Rapids last year.
Oh, you're kidding.
Great. Yeah, there's a Gilda's Laugh Fest. It's this comedy festival.
Yeah, yeah. I know that very well. Yeah. That's so awesome.
It's good. It was
in a church.
We performed in a church.
Of course, there you
yeah.
go. Nice.
It was a church. They
you had like built-in jokes right there.
They turned it into a comedy venue, and it was one of those things, like, none of us in the podcast are religious, but there were still moments where we were like, is that okay? Like, you know,
yeah,
it still felt
exactly.
weird.
Yeah, exactly. No, it would feel right it would there. Feel You're really like, weird.
Dick
for
jokes
sure.
cool in a church? I don't know. Not okay. I don't know. Cedar Rapids, that's a cool part of the country.
It's and very cold at the moment, but it's very small. It's very rural where I grew up. It's all like corn and beans and cattle and so I grew up there and you know, the nearest movie theater was like an hour away. So I mean, I watched a little bit of TV, but we were outside like all the time. My dad was a factory worker and part-time farmer, and my mom, they're both retired now.
You're
well, they say they
American.
Are. So married. My mom ran a daycare out of our home for 40
years. Oh my
gosh. Yeah, 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 yeah.
John Mellencamp, I think, wrote 3 songs.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. That's funny.
Ain't that the monarch? Yeah. That is, it really, I mean, when you were growing up, was there any part of you that entertained the idea of like, you know, I could see just staying in this town and just kind of continuing the
No, absolutely not. You know, I don't know what it was. I always sort of knew that I wanted to be outside of that, although I loved where I grew up. But I think when I saw the possibilities, I think it was 14 and we drove into Chicago, which is about a 5-hour drive, to see a Cubs game. And I saw a city for like the first time. And I was like, holy shit. Wow. I mean, it was so naive, but I was like, saw the Sears Tower, and like, it was just, it blew my mind. And I saw the possibility. And from that moment on, I knew I wanted to live in a city, and so when I graduated, I moved to Chicago, and that's where I went to college.
Has your hometown become? Has it gotten like the Walmart, Applebee's, Starbucks, Jack in the Box? Like, is it?
Well, there's nothing in my town.
700 like, people can't.
There's not like a stoplight. There's nothing. So there's like a gas station and like a little market.
Still.
And like the corn elevator.
Wow.
And about like 4 churches. So there's nothing there, but like the next town over, yeah, is like there's a super Walmart, there's, you know,
that means the
Burger King, McDonald's.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
And I will say the McDonald's there is the best McDonald's I've ever been to. Mm. And I feel like it's everything is so fresh. Like
possible.
You go, yeah, yeah. They don't get that many people there, so you go through the drive-through, and you're like, "I'll take a number 3," and it's still really, really hot.
And they just
like,
make it right.
And it's
there.
Like, yeah, and it's like really big, and it's still thick, and it's not all smushed down.
They
and
just use the cattle prod. Hang on, it's going to be a minute.
I'll tell you. Yeah. I really love the idea of just getting a house in a small town as a vacation. Several years ago, I stayed in this place called Driggs, Idaho, which is just right over the Grand Tetons from Jackson Hole.
Oh, beautiful.
And so it's like Jackson Hole, but without, you know, but things aren't like $4 million.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, like at least at this time in 2005, it was still untouched, really.
Yeah, you shouldn't be talking about it then, because I want to go look it up.
it's all rude. But it was just like the town was basically just like a little cross.
Of, yeah.
Like one intersection and a few. You know, and then there was an insanely good sushi restaurant there at their tiny little airport, because I guess it was just sort of bleed over from Jackson Hole. You know, like, you know, it's like, cause there's,
yeah,
there's like, there's rich people scattered around, even though, you know, you could buy at the time you could buy a plot of land for like 40 grand.
You're
something.
Like, honey, you want to go to the airport for dinner tonight?
I want to go to
the
airport sushi usually sounds like a bad idea, but in this case, it was actually very, very, very. I almost think it was a restaurant. I think it was reversed. I think it was a restaurant. They were like, yeah, you can land planes.
Yeah, exactly. Well, tons
of room.
Exactly.
Tons of room. Yeah, I don't fucking care. Yeah, whatever. Were you obsessed with what were your obsessions when you were growing up? Were you obsessed with comedy at all? Because you're funny, so I feel like maybe there was a comedy thing in your background.
I don't know, you know, but both my folks are funny. My brothers are funny. Thank you, by the way. That's a like a really nice compliment. I appreciate
that. I hear you joking around at the gym.
Yeah,
like, Kiki, you know, like, oh, she's funny.
Yeah.
She's
really funny. Thank you, Kiki's funny. But no, I mean, my interests were very simple. I mean, it's funny. I never really had the desire to even act. I mean, growing up, although there were signs that pointed to it. I mean, it was a part of the drama club. I was a part of the speech club. But those were, I think I did those mainly because I was scared to death and to get in front of people and do sports. Like I absolutely like that. It petrified me. The thought of like standing up in front of an audience and like playing basketball or volleyball or something like that. I'm like, I'll be the water girl. And I was like the water girl.
Yeah, but now you're in better shape than, you know, pretty much any because of your workout regime.
Right. Exactly. But it's funny. And then so, I mean, those were the sort of my interests in terms of like in high school, just, you know, doing that. But I mean, there were 35 people in my class. So it was a really, really
45.
Yeah, it was really small. It was just.
So what does that, how does that affect the way that you deal with the world when, because in a situation like that, you don't disappear into the masses. Like, you probably always, there's always a sense of, well, I'm accountable for anything I say to the entire town, or anything I do to the entire town. Do you feel like that growing up with that level of accountability affected the way that you interact with people later in life?
Oh, God, that's a really interesting question. I mean, probably, perhaps, because everybody knows your business, mm-hmm. for sure. I mean, they even have, like, what are those, like, little CB radios, mm-hmm. you know, like they would listen in on phone calls.
Oh, no.
It was serious, like small town stuff. But yeah, so you definitely, you know, it was like I had one, like I had a high school sweetheart, I had one boyfriend, basically, because, you know, you're not going to like, you know, I could be promiscuous in high school, right?
No.
Because first of all, you don't have, it's like Slim Pickens anyway.
Yeah, it's not that many. There's not a lot of options.
Yeah, exactly.
There's that guy named Slim Pickens.
Yeah.
Best exactly. Corn picker in the county.
Seriously.
I mean, there's probably, you know, statistically, there's probably like 18 boys in your class.
That's exactly right.
And it's like, well, one for everyone.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, I think to answer your question, yeah, it may have. I mean, I haven't really thought about it that much, but I mean, I think that, you know, we were raised to be accountable for everything. I mean, my folks, you know, still, you know, I mean, I don't feel like I'm entitled to anything. And
I think that has a profound effect on the way that people deal with each other later in life, because you learn, if the skill set that you learn, let's say you go to a high school of 5,000 people and you just feel like, oh, everything I do doesn't really matter and no one really knows. And then I think you sort of, you know, you don't feel as accountable to the rest of the world. And so but when you do grow up feeling like, oh, everyone's going to know or this is going to affect a whole, then I think it does really carry, I would assume it carries over so that you're extra careful about, you know, how you deal with people and you make sure that you don't, you know.
How you walk through life. Yeah. Yeah.
Or at least
it's very good
fuck
point.
People over. You have to trick them real good.
Exactly.
So no one finds out.
Exactly.
So what were some other obsessions of yours when you were growing up?
Michael Jackson, Kirk Cameron.
Kirk Cameron.
Yeah, right. Wow. That was like one of them. What happened to him?
He found Jesus.
I think so.
But I feel like that's a case where Jesus is like, please leave me alone. Like it's too much. I'm going to get a restraining order against you. Jesus Christ is going to get a restraining order against Kirk Cameron.
Right.
Picture of his birthday at his office. And it was just like a platter of half Subway sandwiches and like one person and him like with there's like a birthday hat. It was so sad.
Well, when you're intolerant, that's what happens.
It was so sad.
Not many people show up to your birthday party. So you loved Kirk Cameron growing pains, Kirk Cameron.
And I loved... I loved football. I still like football.
You do? You're a football fan?
I'm a football fan. I like college football. I mean,
why?
I like
why college
football, as well.
Football?
Well, I think because Iowa doesn't have a sports or a pro team.
Yeah.
And I'm a Hawkeye fan. So and I love that they're like these young players. They're not getting paid. They just have a lot of heart and they just play their asses off, and I just love it. And you know, you can tailgate.
Is there a particular did you watch the Super Bowl or did you not?
I did. I watched until Time Warner, you know, went on the blink.
You weren't gonna have an hour in the third quarter.
It wasn't worth
it. Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Really?
Like right during halftime.
Yeah.
It was really right.
Well, you know, I think this merger with Comcast is gonna only help the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's right. Holy shit. Yeah.
But it wasn't really much of a game anyway.
No,
it was pretty.
You missed nothing.
I missed nothing, exactly.
Yeah, Matt, maybe this is the year where I watch a sports game and see if I can understand what it is that's...
Are you into sports?
Thrown out
you don't
the
like
pitch
sports.
I don't
Dodgers
understand
game.
Them.
Why? Why is that? You're American. What's wrong with you? You're American.
No, I'm not.
Oh, my God. Finally.
Now it's time to tell the truth.
You're here to fuck her husband.
I am here for your husband.
For Mother Russia.
Yes.
Mother Russia's your pimp.
That's her name. His name, her name, my parents were sports fanatics, and you know, but I just liked, I know people on the podcast are so sick of hearing me say that I don't understand sports, but I liked, you know, chess and computers and video games and and
yeah,
D&D.
There's a whole side of sports though, that you haven't. I feel like
I know,
if
like
you
all the statistics.
When we have Jonah Carey on, he'll explain everything to you.
Well, that's fine.
It's gonna be great.
That's totally fine. Do you get into all the numbers, or do you just like seeing people hit each other?
I don't really get into numbers all that much. Although I like March Madness, and I like college ball a lot, whatever it is. And I kind of start to get into the numbers a little bit.
Do you know what March Madness is?
I have brothers, too. Do you know what I mean? It was like football by default was always on the TV.
Okay.
Like, I would get my ass kicked if, like, you know, the open was on and I turned the channel. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
like,
yeah, it was always on. It was always on in my March Madness is a college basketball thing.
Yeah, but explain it to me.
I don't know.
You really don't know what March Madness is?
I think it's where they all take a bunch of LSD.
You're gonna do it
and
this
then
year.
They go crazy.
You should do it this year.
You will have an office pool.
They're going mad.
That's really fun.
He'll win the pool.
Because yeah. It's usually like beginner's luck where you don't really think, you don't want to think too much
about
it.
Stop laughing at me, Katie.
Because there's all, no, you should do it because there's always upsets.
March Madness. But my mom is this cute little blonde Italian lady, and she's very sweet in person. Yeah. But then when sports will be on, you hear from the other room, what the fuck with these refs? Are you fucking kidding me? What are you, goddamn blind? Your head? Like, it was like that kind of.
That's how I learned to swear, was from my mother watching Red Sox games.
Yeah, this is kind of how I sound. Yeah. And my husband's like you. He's not into sports at all. And then Willow will, because it, like, all the college games start like at 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And on the West Coast. And like on Saturday morning, I'm always thinking, he's like, is it too early for a Bloody Mary? And then Willow will come down the stairs and she's thinking she's going to watch cartoons or something. And I'm like, sorry, honey. Yeah. She's like,
aww. Mommy needs her sports.
Yeah, that's right.
Sorry, sweetie, Hawkeyes are on.
Yeah, yeah.
So you have to affect the accent.
That's exactly,
you know, like
exactly. Yeah.
So what do you think?
It's an Iowa accent. There wouldn't be one.
Yeah.
Well, there is a Midwestern affectation. There is a Midwestern.
It's a little bit less than the Minnesota.
It's way, accent. Yeah, yeah. It's like, yeah. It is this sort of like weird. You're right in between Southern and like upper.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, where everything gets like this.
Yeah, exactly. There's a little bit of that. Definitely.
Yeah, you're between y'all and oh no.
Yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
Know, just,
yeah.
I just want to know if you've ever did your mother ever cool a pie on the windowsill.
No, but she's taken one and put it out in the snow. We've also made ice cream with snow.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
See, there's a part of that that's so appealing to me. Of just like, I mean, I don't think I could go live in a small town for the rest of my life, but just going for like a month and just being in the...
It is good. I mean, I remember... Willow came out, you know, we always go back for a couple of weeks or whatever. And I was sitting on the deck with my mom and dad. We were having a beer and Willow's running around and like, basically she's like half naked. And then all of a sudden I see her like squat. And I'm like, oh, yep, we're going on the end of 2 weeks here. She's definitely like been outside. But the problem was we ended up coming back to LA a few days later and we went to this nice lunch in Beverly Hills. And there were like, you know, some people in the industry there or whatever. And it was like this beautiful, beautiful table. And I put Will in a pretty little white dress and was out in this garden. And all of a sudden, we're having like lovely dinner. There's like 20 of us. And I look over and there she was. She had a white dress jacked up behind her back. She had her panties.
Oh, no.
She's taking a piss in the garden. I was like, oh, my God. Oh, my God. Everybody was like, huh?
Uh-huh. I just imagine it between Scarpetta and Bouchon. That's where she was.
Yeah, exactly.
As a mother, I think you are duty bound to make your child feel okay, and then you go over and do it too, and be like, "This is what
I do. Yeah, exactly.
This is what we do."
Then the whole table gets up, and then a slow clap erupts,
and then it's like the latest trend sweeping Hollywood is garden pissing. Like everyone's doing.
Are you going to a garden pissing party? I'm going. Come on.
I haven't peed in like 4 hours.
Well, what happens is you drink cucumber water and pee that out. That's great. Nice. But the strawberry infused water.
I think it's almost in the same mentality as like open relationship territory. Like, it's natural, man.
Everybody's doing it.
Bound by your rules. Yeah, exactly. Pee there, shit there. Fuck you, man. get out of my bathroom habits.
Yeah.
What do you think is your
Burning Man Symposium?
The Burning Man Symposium?
Burning
Man. That's just Burning
Man.
Yeah. What do you think is your greatest strength as a parent? Like, what do you feel like you really bring to the table?
Oh, gosh. These are hard questions. These are good. I didn't expect this from you,
Chris. I'm so sorry. I know. I'm so sorry. Dick
you
jokes.
Know what? I think I'm fun. I think I'm a fun mom. I think, like, I have a sense of humor. We have a good time and we goof around. And I think, like, things are lighthearted around our house. And I think that's like nice.
See, because when you smile, I feel like that's probably your face most of the time.
Yeah.
And when I smile, I feel like it's weird. Like, my face doesn't just stick there. Like, you know, like it always feels. You can tell.
It's
like
forced.
You can tell when people like when people have a face where you go, oh, they smile, like they laugh, like they are joyful, you know.
Yeah.
And then there's a little bit of a like my mouth like turns down a lot easier than it curls up.
It starts to quiver.
But I feel like it's not too. No, can't. Oh, does everything just collapses?
I used to be called Smiley as a kid.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but you laugh. You laugh when things are really horrible. You're like, we just broke up.
That's why I'm so good at smiling. Horrible things are always
happening.
Did you
guys go see Daniel Tosh in San Luis Obispo?
No, but I saw him. Oh my God, I'm in love with him.
We were in Santa Barbara.
Yeah, I'm in love with him.
My
husband and I sort of joke that like he's our hall pass. And my husband has no interest really, but it's our joke. Like we love him so much. We think he's just so hysterical. But we saw him in Santa Barbara.
Yeah.
I think last year, the year before. It's, oh wait.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. With you. Yeah. He was awesome.
It was incredible watching someone do comedy to a bowl.
To a giant
to
bowl.
Like, God, 3,000 people? I don't know who were there.
Yeah,
that's on
huge.
The upper edge of, like, almost too many people for comedy, because you need...
Well, it was just a fascinating... It was a fascinating watch. It was fascinating to watch him play to a crowd that large.
Yeah.
Like, you get half the crowd going, you've got 1,000 people laughing.
And you still have to, like...
Then you have to get it going to the rest of the 1,000 people.
But it was played really well. Like,
I mean,
really...
he opened talking about the rape joke. I mean, why not?
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Oh, you mean that when the
conference... Yeah, because that was, like, right after. And I missed the Ben Folds podcast.
Okay, so I'm being told that you have to go.
I do.
You've got a daughter to pick up.
You have a human life that you're responsible for.
She's just a few blocks away.
You can't just sit here all day making jokes with us and talking about...
Get the fuck out of here!
Pissing in gardens and open relationships.
Exactly.
I hope she's peeing outside when you pick her up.
Is it sort of ironic that you're in a show about open relationships, and I assume that there are scenes where you're probably fooling around with people?
Yeah.
And it must be like, the show's about this, and even though this is work, it's still like... It's still kind of a strange...
Well, it's totally strange. I'm shaking in my boots. I'm shaking my
head. Was one of the reasons that you decided to do it to sort of like, well, this is something that I'm nervous about, so I have to...
Yeah, it's totally out of my comfort zone. I really like to tackle things in terms of all of my work, things that make me nervous, you know? And then I know I'm pushing the boundaries. And I love Ryan Murphy. I love HBO, obviously. I've been working with them. And I just... I loved that this was going to sort of challenge me. And I had my husband read it, and he was like, "Hello, Grace." And I was like, "Okay, I guess I'm doing it." But also, it's completely unexpected. It's something totally like a 180 from what you would probably expect me to do. So I like the idea of doing something kind of new and fresh and open.
Are you going to be able to watch it?
I don't know. We'll see. I mean, my folks definitely won't be able to watch it.
No.
But that's all right. They don't have HBO. Oh, no, they do. They got HBO for True Detective.
And then you can be like, so after True Detective, you've seen everything you need to see on HBO.
Exactly.
What about Game of Thrones? Get the HBO Go app.
Exactly.
Excellent. And I'm sure that you find that a lot of the stuff that you do, I know maybe this sounds dumb, but I found that a lot of the stuff that I get pushed in the gym with Tom is almost like they're applicable to like, oh, these are there are boundaries in life, and I've learned that I can push through things
completely.
When I think that my brain says, no, you can't. And then I go, I think I can.
Completely. And I think for me, too, it's more about the, you know, sort of the sex and all that thing. I think that's sort of an afterthought to what these characters are really sort of going through and these sort of dilemmas that they're sort of facing. So I'm looking forward to taking this character and really humanizing her and having people actually really be able to relate to what she's going through.
That's the best thing you can do, because ultimately people will see it as a black and white sort of a thing. Like, those people fuck other people and those people don't, and there's a valued system. But to really show, like, there's a humanity and there's their emotions.
To real
and
dig deep on this.
I mean, I'll watch it. I don't know if it's going to change my mind on the, hey, let's everyone fuck everyone. Yeah. But I will. I'm very excited. So you're just doing the pilot now?
Just doing the pilot now. Okay. For now, yeah. So I'll keep you posted.
And I'm very excited to catch up on True Detective too. Michelle, it's delightful to have a longer talk with you than when I'm panting as we're both being stretched at the end. Did you have a good workout?
Yeah.
I'm going to go pass out. I'm going to go run 5 miles on the treadmill. That's what you do. God damn it. We have to hit the Monahan bar. Like, we gotta get higher.
That bar. It's so
I want to hit that bar. Where is that bar?
you're up here. We're like here. You're up
here. No, I'm talking about the actual Monahan bar.
Oh, the actual Monahan bar.
Free drinks.
Exactly.
No bathrooms, just pee outside.
All right, Wonder Woman, thank you so much for being here. Enjoy your burrito, everyone.
Thanks, guys. This is awesome. That was really fun, man.
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.